Welcome to the Food Founders interview from ProCop. Over the Moo founder Simon Goodman is on a mission to build the world's tastiest vegan ice cream business. And how did he go from watching Dragon's Den Australia to launching Over the Moo's bags of luxurious, bite-sized, plant-based mini choc ices? How is the process of working with an existing trademark and recipe, and what's the plan for achieving that mission in the UK and Europe? Morning, Simon.
Good morning. Hello to everybody.
So I guess the first question is, can you tell us a bit about Over the Moo and how you came to start the business?
Well, it was a COVID moment. I spent the last 25 years in a manufacturing business, which actually was originally a family business. And I moved the production there a long time ago, and that all closed down in COVID. So I was sat on my sofa thinking of something else to do, with the daughter nagging me to do something sustainable. And I saw, just purely by chance, I saw this guy on Dragon's Den in Australia promoting his brand Over the Moo, which I tasted on a business trip there about 6 months before. And it was kind of a bit of a light bulb moment. I thought that I had some background in food. I used to work with, I helped Cadbury launch their first choc ice. So it kind of started from that moment. We connected, got on very well. And, you know, I researched the market and came up with this little bite-size idea.
Excellent. It kind of sounds like the stars aligning with the kind of what you were looking to do and the sustainability, and then seeing this product and having experienced it as well.
Yeah, no, it was one of those where there were a few dots joined in one moment, and that kind of set it off, and an idea suddenly begins to sort of develop.
I mean, normally I would ask kind of what are the challenges of developing a dairy-free ice cream, but it sounds like you're working with the Australian business's recipe, is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly how we did it. Yeah, so the challenge was, once I decided I didn't want to do a tub of ice cream like he had, I wanted to evolve the product into something snacky. The thinking was, because I wanted to try and make it vegan and mainstream, I thought small made it a little bit more forgiving. So on taste, I actually think the taste is fabulous, but that was part of the rationale. And so it was then about finding someone who could make it. I couldn't find anyone in the UK. So I've ended up making it in Italy.
What was the challenge with the UK? The technical ice cream making ability, or the vegan, or the sustainability, or...
No, yeah, I mean, vegan wasn't the issue, because I'm actually developing some ideas with a factory in the UK at the moment, but they didn't have the machinery. And, you know, I've spent 25 years, I used to make everything I sold here in the UK. And one of the reasons for moving out of the UK is it's very, very difficult to manufacture in the UK without some very large orders behind you.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. And I mean, you touched on what you were doing before with Cadbury. What have you done before, and has it been good preparation for doing this?
So yeah, I was in the sort of agency world and working for a PR communications company, and Cadbury was my main client while I was there, and that's when they launched their first ever choc ice with walls. So I was involved in that project, and I was a chocolate, you know, I adore chocolate. So I had that at the back of my mind, and had done lots of sort of marketing communications and trade marketing things. And then I worked at Sony after that, doing their PR and advertising. Right. So I kind of knew brand.
Yeah.
I knew a little bit about food. But no, my manufacturing background, I took over a family business. So I was like the fifth generation of the family to join it. So I was a very old traditional family business that's kind of evolved into other areas.
What was the product in the family business?
So the original family business is going back, it made medical products, but it was, its main business was making military badges and buttons. So it made all the army metal stuff that you put on a uniform. So a few world wars were kind of good business. And then it evolved in sort of mainstream fashion buttons, and those could be in plastic and metal. So it kind of, the business just developed from there and supplying to high street retailers like Next and
Right.
M&S.
So not directly transferable, but I guess logistically and that kind of side of things, probably quite.
I mean, it was transferable because my model is contract manufacturing, which is what I do now and have done for 20 years. So I understand when you've got a product, you don't actually need to create a factory to make it. You know how to organize things and contract stuff out, which is very much the model I wanted to follow and
Yeah.
not have, 150 people all under one company banner.
Excellent. So what's currently in the range? And what came first?
So we've just launched our third product. This is the new chocolate. So it comes in a
Lovely.
bag. These little bites of it's chocolate ice cream inside a chocolate coating. I've literally been launching that over the last 7 days. And we had two flavors before in a bag as well, which are caramel and vanilla. So done three, but very much, it's going to be about building formats and flavors over the next few years.
Excellent. When I was doing my homework, I think I read that you one of the things you before you kind of really set out was to research the market and speak to experts and all that, which isn't what people always do.
I mean, I didn't know the food business in the sense of owning a brand and distributing it. Ice cream's got its challenges being frozen, as I found out, to my cost. So learning how to bring a food product to market, all the quality assurances and things like that to start with, flavor development. So yeah, no, I've definitely reached out. I couldn't have done it without the people who've been advising me, and obviously the founder in Australia was unbelievably important because he made a lot of mistakes, and I was able to try and avoid some.
Yeah, it's interesting that you, as I say, were I guess partly inspired by the chap on Dragon's Den. Did you immediately think I want to work with them and take it into? Are you looking at Europe and the UK or wider than that?
I mean, what appealed to me about his brand was not only because it tasted amazing, I just loved the feel of the brand. I marketing is my background. I absolutely love things like that. And creating a brand and a sustainable brand was very much at the heart of what Alex did in Australia and what we're trying to do internationally. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're already in Dubai in the UAE. Next month, we're going into Spain and Portugal. So manufacturing in Italy was one of the reasons for that, because of Brexit. It's an
Yeah.
absolute nightmare
Indeed, I
to
guess I should have put two and two
export.
together, yes.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's but getting samples from the UK to Spain and Portugal has in the end, I had to get them shipped from Italy. I never got them through customs from here.
Right.
So it's very much an international business.
Brilliant. So you approached, so the chap in Over the Moo is called
Alex Houseman is his
Alex Houseman.
name.
So you hooked up with Alex and said, I'm thinking of this and
I
kind
said I want to bring your brand to the UK.
of.
So it was just it was finding, researching the market. I've put a lot of money into the start of the business, doing some research, things, looking at the data and trying to find where the gap was. And I don't know if people have heard of a brand called Little Moons,
Yeah.
which is a sort of mochi ball of ice cream. And in COVID, they had this unbelievable moment of being a big hit on TikTok, and I'd seen them got incredible traction. They're a fantastic business that I hugely envy from where I am now. And they had a factory, so it's a slightly different model. But they went from sort of 2 million in sales in 2022 to 40 million 12 months later. So it's an incredible, huge curve, and I learned a lot from watching how they did it.
I guess you probably didn't initially start making anything at home. You kind of looked for contract manufacturers from day one. And did you looked in the UK and found.
So no, I commissioned a company to help do a manufacturing search. Cut a long story short, because there was a lot of false dawns. was introduced to this factory in Italy that, you know, they're a 80 million euro factory. So I'm their smallest customer. So they've been fantastic. So they were able to take the recipe and then develop this this bite-sized product, but vegan. They've done it in dairy, but they've not done it in vegan before.
The sustainability aspect of the business comes from one being a vegan product. Are there other aspects of the product and the business that are sort of supporting sustainability?
Yeah. I mean, that was where I started. That was the single objective of the business, is to try and make it as sustainable as possible. And, you know, things like, you know, it's an ice cream. So ice cream, it's a treat, it's got sugar in. But the nutritional side of it will increasingly become important, more and more important. But that was fundamental to everything we've done. You know, the packaging, it's plastic, but it is recyclable. Yeah. So that is something that I'll work on and working on already. So that's going to be the core of the business throughout.
Excellent. And where are you currently selling? Have you built stockists? And I guess what's the plan as well?
I mean, just learning so much, you know, as about who buys it, who rebuys it. So we've been very lucky about getting in with some really good distributors. That's helped us get into about 250 stores in the UK, and we're now in about 30 in Dubai. Critical with ice cream, you need to be listed with these key distributors. And I'm just learning what we've got to get stronger at is driving the sell-through, getting people to try it. Yeah. You know, so the marketing side, I'm crowdfunding right now. And part of that is to try and take supper a level on the marketing, because that probably has been our weakest bit, is you get into a freezer in Londis or Budgeons in St Albans or, you know, posh deli in North London. But you're in a freezer with X number of other brands who are well known to everybody who goes in there. So, no, still a long, long way to go. But you know, to get in 300 odd stores within the first year and a bit, it's been amazing.
You manufacture in Italy, and that supports Dubai, or do you have to manufacture more locally to Dubai?
No, at the moment, because it's quite small scale, we're on a website called Kibson's, which is like an Ocado over there. And we've just recently gone into Spinneys that have a few licensed Waitrose stores. So that we're in about 30 of those. And it's just a small order. And so they take it from our UK stock and ship it with other goods that they consolidate. So, but eventually shipping from Italy to Dubai will be easy.
Yeah.
So we've just got to build the sales.
Obviously, from the research you've done, and I guess learning since then, who do you know who you're making this for? Who is there a kind of key kind of or group of consumers that this is aimed at?
Yeah, I mean, because where we start now, it's a treat. It's so where I see it is, it's an after dinner treat. It's your Netflix moment on the sofa. And now we've just gone into food service, where we're looking at cinemas. We launched in our first cinema a couple of weeks ago, and we're going into another one next weekend. So we're trying to get that out and about market. You know, we've got it in a few restaurants where it's being served as a frozen dessert, where they just plate it and sprinkle it, because it's no waste, handling. Yeah. It's all very straightforward, long shelf life. So, you know, who buys it? What we've learned the first year is it, because with the cost of living crisis, it's expensive. You know, we're retail. We started it at $599. It's now at four, so $399 in a Londis, and probably in food service will be a little bit more. So it's finding its area. We're, you know, cheaper than competition, but you know, you can get a tub of ice cream for £354 now. So it's a competitive sector, but our target tends to be women tend to buy the ice cream a little bit more than men. So that's kind of where we're targeting at the moment.
Is there any headroom as you scale up for the price to come down?
Yeah, I mean, cocoa prices have shot through the roof. Right. So, you know, it's one of those I've been chomping to reduce the price. So, because very conscious of value. But it is ice cream is expensive to make, and bites are very expensive to make. So it's going to be a tricky one. But it's definitely always going to be a treat as opposed to, you know, your value product.
When did you actually sort of start selling? How long ago?
So I started selling beginning of last year.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, we finished our first full year in March. So yeah, you know, it's very small, just growing it. So we've basically done really well on the distribution, and now we just got to work on that sell through, just getting people to try it and buy it again and prove that model. So we've done well in certain areas, but yeah, definitely it's got a long way to go.
I noticed there is a Great Taste Award in there, isn't there?
Yeah, we've done well. We've won 7 awards so far, and we put just one on the packet, and we're now with the chocolate flavour just entering some more. So yeah, awards very important part of it.
Excellent. I'm guessing that the kind of sell through is probably going to be leaning quite a lot on your PR background and experience as well.
Yeah, I mean, I always enjoy when people say, "Have you got any regrets or the mistakes that you've made?" I can list so many; it's unbelievable. But definitely, my marketing is something we've obviously done it on a very, very small budget. But that's something that's why we're crowdfunding. We need to really lift that up, and as you say, that's going to help a lot.
And for the benefit of the people listening, and obviously I don't want you to give away any of your plans and secrets, but kind of are there kind of a few key things in terms of PR and awareness that you kind of know that you want to do next?
Yeah. I mean, if you like, crowdfunding is a marketing exercise. You know, that's very much, it's about getting money in, but it's also giving people to kind of buy into the community or that kind of thing. And that, you know, the strategy is definitely around, you know, around my area. I'm in most of the shops, you know, we do a lot of kind of local stuff, and you can see that model works. So we've just really got to multiply that. And social media is definitely the key, but a lot of sampling events, festivals, those kind of things are where we want to be. You know, I'm about to buy an Over the Moo bicycle, and you shall see me on Clapham Common this August. Excellent. Flogging my wares.
Stop me and buy one.
Yep.
Oh, stop me and buy a bag. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good way of also getting people's feedback on what they think of it and what the price is.
How big's the team?
So the team is me. So everything is contracted. Manufacturing contracted, social media. So I have an accountant, I have a bookkeeper, I have a social media person. And yesterday it was my daughter. So small team at the moment. But again, with the crowdfund, I don't think I'll employ anyone full time, but definitely contract people in.
Is that forever, or is that till you get to a certain stage, or?
Yeah, I've definitely got to move up a stage. Nowadays, because people work from home, I'm pretty flexible on whether they're employed or whether they're working for an agency, depending on what they're doing. I mean, I think when it comes to certain functions, they might need to come in house. As the business gets growing, you know, marketing, sales, and operational, maybe we'll bring those in house. But I mean, certainly in no rush to.
No, it makes sense. I should have just asked about the social media. So, are you making TikTok videos? Is that?
Yeah. Not me. I'm rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. Yeah, it's funny when I did the Cadbury launch. Yeah, there was no social media. There was no mobile phones. So it was a different world. So social media is absolutely key. And we've got, you know, we've just gone over on Instagram, just gone over 3,000 followers. So we're moving up, but obviously that's tiny. So we've got a long way to go.
Excellent. You took the brand from the Australian business as well, or have you moved that on and evolved
and
changed it for the UK and Europe?
Yeah, no. So the first person I connected with is a lady who her background was doing the packaging for Innocent Drinks, and she did all my packaging. What she was so good at was she just said, "You just be quiet and let me get on with it. Don't try and give me your founder old man rubbish. I'm gonna do this." And she was brilliant. And she, it's not to everyone's taste, but as a the idea was to try and get some impact on shelf
Yeah,
so that it
completely.
stood out from much more famous brands. And that one of the reasons we put it in a bag as opposed to a tub, we thought it would differentiate it because of the format was different. So, not everything is perfect, but definitely not a bad start.
Are you crowdfunding at the moment?
So I'm going through my network first, and then hopefully next month, probably next month we'll go live on Crowdcube.
And apart from that, the business kind of been self-funded, or you've funded the business so far.
Yeah, I raised about 70,000 through some my kind of network, sort of friends and family, just to help finance the year one. But now, yeah, we're hoping to raise 300,000 in this run, and next year I'm sure we'll have another one.
What's the relationship with the Australian business? Is it kind of like a franchise, and you just use the brand, or is it more interlinked than that?
Yeah, so I have the trademark for the regions outside of Australia. So we did an agreement around that. Alex is a shareholder and an investor. The objective is to bring the businesses closer and closer together, and I hope in time be one business. So, Alex is a founder, I'm a founder, and we're both, horribly possessive about what we've done. So, but we do work very closely. I speak to him every month. So the idea is we d I'd love to create one business out of it. So he licenses the business in Australia and actually has a full-time job at a distributor. So I think once we get the business moving, it's very small still, but hopefully within a couple of years we'll be one company.
Fantastic. I mean, it's quite interesting because I think being inspired by, I imagine a lot of food founders might have been inspired by another product or another business, obviously not always. And not everyone would think, well, actually, I'm going to join up with that. You'd kind of go into competition. So I'm quite interested in how you thought, well, actually, the best thing to do here is to stand on the shoulders of giants, kind of thing, and take the
Yeah, I
business
think
forward.
so. Yeah, I mean, everybody's different. I've met so many food founders, and they do things that I haven't. I'm jealous of some of the things they've done in a much better way than I've done. So as I say, made lots of mistakes, but and Alex is definitely been a shoulder to cry on because he made a lot of mistakes himself. So yeah, I wanted that. I thought about creating my own brand, but I liked having something that had some traction. It sold a couple of million units in Australia, so it was already a pretty substantial business over there, and had got into the two big supermarkets, and we'd learned a lot from that. So yeah, that's been a real benefit.
And I guess what are the most important things you've learned along the way? And I always ask people, like, is there anything, it sounds like there's a few things, but is there anything you wish you could kind of go and tell yourself 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that would have saved pain and strife along the way?
Yeah, I mean, oh gosh, there's so many. So many. Because I mean, just as an example, as I said, my model is where I'm getting advice. I've used consultants on a whole variety of things, and I've wasted an awful lot of money. With social media is a very good example. People talk a great game on social media, particularly to a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about. So. I'm looking for partners who are feeling it's like their own business. That's what a founder wants. It's that passion to deliver what you would do if it was your own money.
Apart from the Australian over the mood people, Are there any other founders you've learnt from, and kind of what are those lessons you've learnt?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly doing the most I've learned is through the food business. You know, that it's, you know, it's been an incredible learning curve of I've had advisors on packaging, just purely the sort of legal side of that. But, you know, I think the lesson that I sort of feel the strongest about is understanding the distribution network of a food business. And that, you know, you can't get anywhere with ice cream unless you are in with the distributors that deliver a frozen product to a shop or a restaurant or a cafe, coffee shop. So, you know, where I've made mistakes is going to try and connect with the wrong people. Right. And that, you know, I've learned that from talking to people who have been involved in the ice cream business or the food business. You know, I've attended a lot of those kind of founder network events, and you know, people are incredibly helpful on giving advice on things like that.
But there are kind of established norms about getting frozen products into retail, and you can't, you know, those are rules you can't break. You know.
Yeah, but it's what's surprising is you know, what if someone asked me how would you launch an ice cream business, what how the margins work and all that kind of thing, I would just tell them it's very simple. It's not. It is actually, like all food, it's quite a set model of, you know, if you've got a business, you can do direct to consumer. It's a different thing. But ice cream, you can't do that.
I have to confess, I did look on your website to see if you had a like e-commerce. And then I thought, no, it's ice cream, Stephen. That's not going to work.
No. I mean, that was one of the things. I wasted a hell of a lot of time because, you know, a consultant said, yeah, let's go on Amazon. And I hadn't realized that they weren't talking about Amazon Fresh. They were talking about shipping direct on Amazon, which, you know.
I don't remember ever seeing freeze at home as a business model for ice cream.
Partly me being stupid, I suppose, but it was a complete crash and burn moment.
Excellent. I have a question. How do the margins work in ice cream?
A big retailer wants 40%. The small retailer wants 30%. A distributor wants anything between 22 and 35.
That making that price point that you maintain really important.
Yeah, you know, it is, and it's definitely a very clear, you know, with all food, there definitely some important price points, and you've got to start with what you want to sell in a shop for.
Susan asks, I know you have the trademark and have taken the brand from Australia, but do you worry about the confusion with Moo chocolate?
If I'm honest, I don't know. I mean, that creating a brand, that is the challenge. You know, there are a lot of moos as you go around internationally, particularly. So, you know, there's no moo in Australia. There's a, I can't remember where we were looking at. We're going into Portugal and there's a moo product there that's vegan. So, no, there's a lot of challenges. You know, it might not be Over the Moo, the name, forever. You know, as you grow internationally, moo cows don't mean anything in China.
No, that's a big market.
Yeah. And they love European ice cream.
Thank you, Simon, for your time. It's been a fascinating chat. You can find out more. You can't buy online, obviously.
You can buy online, but not direct from me. We're on all the vegan websites like Plantex, Multi Plants. Vegan Kind. Done great business on those.
Excellent. So yes, you can find out more and find Stockists at www.overthemoo.co.uk. You can hear previous interviews in the Food Founders interviews series at frogcop.co.uk/podcast or search for Food Founders interviews wherever you get your podcasts. Now on YouTube as well. Thanks for joining. Thanks, Simon. When you held up the product to the camera, as I say, I was hoping for Wonka vision, but Zoom hasn't got that yet. But I'm looking forward to my next encounter with Over the Moon.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks everyone for joining. Bye.